Thank you. If you have your Bible, open it with me to Colossians the third chapter. We are now moving down to the 15th verse of Colossians the third chapter. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, please take your word and challenge our hearts. Father, I pray that you would use this time to help our families. Father, to bring our families closer together as we bring our families closer to you. And Father, families are made up of individuals, and so we pray for individuals, Father, that we will live more for Jesus than ever before. Guide this time, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible is a very important book. I don't know if you're aware of that. This is God's lifeline to us. This is God's word to challenge, God's word to direct our lives. In the Bible, you're going to find what you need to know for what you are supposed to do. You're going to find God's guidance for your life, for every area of your life. He's going to tell you how you need to operate on a day-by-day basis. Most of us need to know that. And we're going to find that we need to operate on a day-by-day basis in Jesus. Chapter 1 of this great book teaches us that Jesus is the one we need. Jesus is the one for all your sorrows, for all your difficulties, for all your joys. Listen, I don't know what's going on in your life, but there are struggles that go on in your life, and I'm going to tell you, for every struggle, Jesus is your answer. When your team comes up 1 point short, Jesus is your answer. You know, He can help you through whatever you have to do. He is abiding, caring, powerful, able, loving. Chapter 2 tells us that there are going to be those who are going to try to shake our faith in Jesus. There are going to be some that will tell you you got Jesus and that's okay, but you need something else. And the scripture tells us when anybody wants to add to Jesus, when anybody wants to take away from Jesus, they stepped outside of God's will. And you need to be cautious of them. Then in chapters 3 and 4, we find out how the Christian life actually operates very practically in our lives. Now, the Christian life is supposed to operate in your life every day. Yeah, that's right, every day. It's not just a Sunday event. It's not just a Wednesday event. It is an everyday event. Every day of your life, you are supposed to have Jesus exalted in your life, and you are to be living the Christian life. God gives you help to do that day by day in the world and in the home. The Bible talks about the family and how the family should operate. I don't know how your family operates. Sometimes it probably operates better than others. But our families need to operate according to God's desires. You know, I have known some people that seem like wonderful, wonderful Christian people. They seem like wonderful people when you would meet them out in the world. They seem like wonderful Christian people when they were at work. They seem like wonderful Christian people when they were at church. But I came to know that when they got behind closed doors, when they came to their home life, that they weren't such great Christian people. Listen, if Jesus is not leading you in your home life, then there is something wrong with your Christian life. If your Christian faith doesn't operate everywhere, it does not really operate anywhere. So God tries to tell us how we are to live in the relationships that we have that are in the home. And the Bible gives helps for the home. You know, the home is God's thing. He established it. He put it together. And so he knows how your home is supposed to work. He knows how it's supposed to work at every stage of your life. Now, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, then how is he going to help your family? Today, you need Jesus, and homes need Jesus. Homes in Columbus, Georgia, desperately need Jesus. And so God's going to help us. And he gives us resource help. In verse 15, 16, and 17, there are resources for the home. Verse 15, the peace of God. Verse 16, the word of Christ. And verse 17, the name of the Lord Jesus. These are resources for every believer, whether you're in the home or out of the home. He wants you to turn to the understanding of the peace of God, the word of Christ, and the name of the Lord Jesus. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, that has to do with the prevailing atmosphere in your home. Is your home a place of peace or a place of torment? Is it peaceful or is it stressful? In this chaotic world, there needs to be a place you can go where the dog won't bite your foot off and your mate won't bite your head off. There needs to be a place where, peace. Now, there is that place for all of us. It's called heaven. And when we die by and by, when we get to heaven, it is going to be a place of perfect peace. But, you know, God wants you to have peace before you get there. If you know Jesus, peace should prevail where you are, and when you're in the home, peace needs to rule your home. He says, let the peace of God rule. That word rule is the word for umpire. Now, you may be familiar with an umpire. Do you know there were umpires in football? In football, the umpire is behind the linebackers, and he looks and he watches and he sees when people jump off sides or when people do holding or when they do illegal chop blocks and all those kinds of things. And the umpire's watching for when people get out of line. In baseball, there's the umpire. Oh, the umpire knows when that ball is a strike or when that ball is a ball, you know, and the umpire is the one that can say, you're out. That's the umpire. The peace of God should govern your life so that you know when you get out of line, where in your heart you realize when you've stepped out of God's desires and out of God's way and your attitude is just not where God wants it. Is your home a place of peace or is it a place of unrest? Let me be clear. A screaming home is not a peaceful home. I have told you many times, when the volume goes up, the brain goes out. And things are said that should not be said. If you only communicate at your highest decibel level, you need to find a different way to communicate in the Lord. There needs to be a peacefulness of God that governs how you communicate with others in your own family. We're told in the first 6 years of life, a child develops most of their personality. In that first few years, they develop a lot of their spirit. If a parent is fearful, if a parent is jumping at shadows, you're going to find a child that develops a fearful attitude and a child that can't be at ease. If a parent is bitter, if a parent is negative, you're going to find a child that can't find anything that's right. If a parent is loving and joyful and uplifting, you're going to find a child. I'm not saying you're going to find a perfect child. You're not. But you're going to find a child that knows how to laugh and knows how to enjoy life. Let the peace of God rule. When you invite Jesus into your heart, you're inviting God's peace into your heart. God's peace is available to you, and God's peace is available to everybody you come in contact with. And so God's peace is available in the home. Let it rule. Ask yourself, is what I'm about to say going to make my family more peaceful or more tumultuous? Is what I'm going to do going to upset the peace of God in my home? Now, you should be understanding that you should not want the peace of God upset in your life. And so if it's going to upset the peace of God in your home, it's going to upset the peace of God in your life. And so God gives us the resource of His peace. It is available to you. You can have His peace in any and every situation. His grace can come into your life, can cover your life, can guide you through the most horrible times of life. With peace. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell within you richly in all wisdom. Well, how does the peace of God work? Well, we find it in the word of God. And so the word of Christ should dwell in our lives. The word of Christ is the Bible. Let the Bible be important for your life. Let the Bible be important in your home. God's truth enriches the family. Listen, perhaps if we had more homes operating off the Bible, we would be electing more people to office that operate off the Bible. And if Washington ever got a clue that true wisdom was found in the Bible for a nation and started acting like it, oh, what a nation we would have. Children need to be in God's Word. Plain and simple. If you have a child and, you know, they need to be in Awanas. Now, they need to be in God's Word anyway, but Awanas is a place where they get to memorize God's Word. A child can memorize about 80 verses of Scripture in a Awana year, and so on Wednesday nights we have this time where they have a great time, yes, but they learn God's Word. But before they get to Awanas, you need to be teaching them God's Word in your house. When our kids were little, yes, my kids were once little, and when my kids were very small, we taught them Bible verses. And we taught them Bible verses by ABCs. A, ask and it will be given to you. Your children need to learn, know how to ask of God. They know how to ask of Santa Claus. They need to know how to ask of God. B, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, your children very early, very, very early need to know that you believe in Jesus, and they need to as well. And then C, my friend, you are not going to get through a Christian world unless you teach your children the verse for C. C, children, obey your parents. My goodness, every parent should teach their child that verse and have it down and have it in their mind so much that you can say, what is your verse for C?
Hey, it's better than because I said so. What does your verse foresee? Children, obey your parents. Teach them that when they disobey you as their parent, they're not just disobeying you, they are disobeying God, and you're not it. The Bible should be read to children. You should pray with children. I know time is difficult. My goodness, we are so pressed that we're pressed that we're stressed. Everybody's, when your child gets a schedule, oh, it's difficult for a family because your whole schedule has to revolve around their schedule. And their schedule is never easy. And it's always inconvenient. And yet parents try to make all that work. Well, when are you going to schedule in this time to teach them God's word? You just have to make it happen. You know, ideally you have both parents there, but that's not going to work all the time because of work schedules, everything's doing. They at least have one parent there. Many times Becky would carry this task out when I couldn't be there, and it was just important. Be sensible. Be sensible about it. Sometimes, I'm not going to say who, but in my family there was some guy that would come in and he would sometimes read long passages of Scripture. The children would either go to sleep or swing off the light fixture. Their mom would too. And ultimately, he got the idea that, hey, that's too much. You know, one verse is enough, or two verses, or part of a verse. Just so you're tying them on a regular basis to God's word. There are a lot of helpful books out there. We give books to, as we dedicate children, we give books to the child for the parent to read that are ways to get them into God's word. You know, many children know more about the Bible and Bible stories than their parents. By the way, parents, you can learn a lot about the Bible teaching your children Bible stories. And so we need to make that part of our lives. Make Sunday school a part of their lives. Listen, we are living in a day when Sunday school is getting less and less and less a part of what people do. We need to make it more and more and more what people do. It is a call upon each of us. We need Sunday school. We need Sunday school for the Bible study, and we need Sunday school for the fellowship. There needs to be some time during the week that we meet in a small group with other believers that are trying to live their Christian life, and you're sharing that life experience with each other. And that builds you up and it encourages them. Sometimes when you're struggling in your family, you got somebody else and they've struggled too. And you'll be amazed to know, oh, that's happened in your world too. I thought I was the only one. And in that Sunday school class, you have people that'll pray for you and encourage you. Just this week, we're praying for Cindy Wade. Cindy is in ICU, and I encourage you to be praying for her if you haven't been already. But Rick said, I don't know how people can survive without a Sunday school class and a church family. I hear it often, but you know, the reality of it, watching it before your eyes is different. Having that Sunday school class that can call out and let you know you got people behind you that are praying for you. They can't be in every situation with you, but they got your back in prayer. We need that. Make Sunday school part of your life. Make worship part of your life. Listen, parent, make it so that your child doesn't ask, are we going to church this Sunday? Make it so they just know. Yeah, I never had to ask that question. I knew where I was going to be on Sunday. I knew where I was going to be on Wednesdays. There's a wisdom for you in God's word, and there's a wisdom for your family. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You need God's wisdom for your life, and you need God's wisdom for your family. When you get God's word into your family, then your family, your children, have an opportunity to make decisions in life backed up by God's word. God's Spirit will bring it to the forefront of their mind at the point that they might be ready to make a decision that could be a deadly decision. But God's word being in their heart would blanket them and help them through. Verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Get God's music in your house. Probably people in your house like different types of music. Whatever types of music works, get it in your house. It doesn't necessarily have to be played at a decibel that the neighbors hear it, but get it in your house. When I woke up in the morning, I knew that I was in a Christian home because there was Christian music on the radio. Now, it may not be what you listen to. My mother liked Southern gospel music. And so I would wake up to Wally Fowler's Gospel Hour. Give the world a smile every day, helping someone on their way through the paths of sin as you wander into the Master's fold to stay. Help to cheer the lone and sad. Help to help the pilgrim glad. Those words may not be much to you, but let me tell you, there are a lot of sad days that I have that in my mind, that you can wake up with a smile, you can choose a smile, because the purpose of that is in the line of that song when it comes down and says, show people the light of serving Jesus with a smile. We need to put things into their minds, into the minds of everybody in the home that they will remember, and music sticks. And so try to get God's word in music in the home. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything you do, ask yourself a question. Can I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus, and it's okay with him? That's a good question to ask for everybody in the home. It's okay to ask if you're not in the home. Well, what I'm going to do with what I'm going to say, will it be okay in the name of Jesus? It's great to work for your family, but it's better to work in the name of Jesus. It's great to obey your parents, but it's better to obey your parents in the name of Jesus. Listen, the home will work better when you follow the resources God has given you. Peace of God, the Word of God, the name of Jesus. Now, he not only gives resource help, he gives relationship help. In verses 18 through 21, the families of America, you know, are in great trouble. 24 million children in America live in a single parent home. Now, thank God for single parents who seek to raise their children, seek to have them in God's house, seek to teach them God's word. I praise God for you, and I am thankful for you, and we need to pray for our single parents that are trying to do things right by God's will. There have been times when I've shared the Bible and what the Bible has to say, and we'll have people in the room that are living together without the benefit of marriage. And sometimes we share that, and you know, I've actually had this happen. I've had it happen where a couple has come under conviction and come to talk to me later, and you know, if that's you, I can help you with that. And we go to the Lord and we try to seek what God's will. And today I can honestly say that we have many couples that have a strong home that started out by making that decision, knowing that they needed to be married and in God's will. Now, at the same time, I've had some people get mad. Understand this. God's word is just God's word. And I have to be faithful to God's word. God doesn't change his word just because the world wants to live in sin. His word is always going to be right, and he does not compromise it. Our culture needs to hear from people who believe in God's word. He has word to help your relationships, marital relationships in verse 18 through 20. Wives and husbands, okay, wives. Why do we start out with wives? Probably because I'm a husband, but that is the way the text says. Wives. There's a word here that freaks a lot of people out, but it's here, okay? Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Now, there's some important things about that. People that don't like that don't understand it. Submit yourselves to your own husbands. That's very important for you to understand. I have heard some men say to women, "You're supposed to be submissive to me because I'm a man." That's not what this says. It says, submit to your own husbands. Submission does not mean that the wife loses her personality. It does not mean that she gives her brain away to some turkey she's married to. It does not mean that she becomes a doormat. It means the wife understands that God has a design for marriage and for a line of authority and leadership. It also understands that somebody in every relationship, somebody has to make a decision. And so God sets in place an order. Now, a wise husband will listen to what his wife has to say before making any decisions. A wise husband will love that wife. And in fact, we'll see that that's what God tells him to do. In all areas of society, somebody has somebody making a choice. If you work, there's somebody that has to make choices and decisions where you work. God just says in the family, because there's more than one person, somebody has to be in that position, and God decided that the male would be in that position. Doesn't mean he's smarter. Most of us are smart enough to know that we're not going to tell women we're smarter. It just means God has a way for things to work, and ladies, your submission will make the husband want to do more to benefit you more. Then he says, husbands, love your wives. Well, when we think of love, we think more of women, but God puts love in the family in the man's responsibility. Husbands, love your wives. Care for her. Decide you want her best. Try to do things that are her best. Listen, try to care for her so much that she doesn't have to ask for stuff. You're taking care of her. You're watching out for her. You're going the extra mile for your bride. Not everybody gets this. Somebody told me a story about a husband that died, went to heaven. This is not how it works, but this is the story. He got up to the gates of heaven, and there was St. Peter. And St. Peter said, "I have to test you before you can come in." We know this is not how it works, but in this case, that's what St. Peter said. And when he said, "I got to test you," the man got concerned. He didn't know if there's any test that St. Peter could give that he could pass. He said, "Well, we're given spelling test." That made him more nervous. He knew he couldn't spell. And then St. Peter said, "Spell love." And with a great deal of relief, the man said, "L-O-V-E." St. Peter said, "That's absolutely right. You can come right on in. In fact, I've got to go. I've got to go meet the Archangel Michael over here. Would you cover the gate for me a little bit? And all you have to do is ask people to spell a word, and it'll be fine. And nobody gets here unless they're qualified. It'll be fine." So the man is there for a while, and some people come in, and he gives them the test. Spell joy. Spell happy. And they go right in. And then, to his astonishment, his wife comes to the gate of heaven. "Well, why are you here?" "Well, when you died, I got I got your insurance money and I was going to run to the mall, but when I crossed the road, a car came and hit me and killed me. And so I'm here. Why are you at the gate? Well, St. Peter had to go. He gave me a list of what has to happen for you to get in. Oh, what do I have to do? Well, it's a simple spelling test. Okay. Spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Well, not a very loving husband. Love looks out for what is best for the mate. And men, you need to look out for what is best for your wife. You need to protect her. You need to care for her. You need to let her, listen, so live so that she doesn't doubt that you love her. There are four facets that can predict a divorce or problems in a marriage. Criticism, defensiveness, contempt, and withdrawal. And if you begin to see those things, those are not good characteristics to have between a husband and a wife. On the other hand, there needs to be gentleness, compassion, comfort, and get this, forgiveness. And if you can apply those things that God gives you, that he equips you with, you will do better in your marriage. God has given you resources for your marriage. And yes, the peace of God, the word of Christ, the name of Jesus, but also love and forgiveness. There's resources for parents. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Rebellion against your parents is rebellion against God every time. Boys and girls, learn to obey your mom and dad. And teens, you will hear this many times from this pulpit. If you want to have a great life and you want your parents to knock themselves out, to make things as good as it can be for you, just do what they say. You want to really blow their mind? Do what you know they want you to do before they have to ask you. It'll freak them out. And they will do whatever they can do to make things good for you. Parents tend to go to extremes. Some parents are too lax. They just don't have any rules. The kid will do whatever the kid will do. The child grows up without any direction and spirals into difficulty. Then there's those that are too stern, too disciplined, and you crush their spirit and the child grows up without self-esteem. How do you raise a child? Well, you got to have a lot of prayer, a lot of love, a lot of compassion. Parents, your children deserve a loving heart, a listening ear, a watchful eye, and a helping hand, and a praying knee. The family will work when the parents are committed to each other. Yes. Moms and dads need to be committed to each other, and the children need to know it. Listen, a child being a child and being kind of devious will try to split the husband and wife, and will try to get one to side with the child instead against the other. Don't let that happen. You let your children know that you're bound to your spouse. And you're a team. And you're going to work together in raising them. Divorce is hard, and it is hard on children. A thought of separation is a song, is a thought about death of a home. Think of what divorce will do. Think of breaking the hearts of your children. Parents who run out on their children. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's an unthinkable thought to me, and yet I've seen it happen many times. Parents that just turn their back on their children, they hit the road, they don't come back, they leave their children. They often end up full of regret and alone. parents, the greatest thing you can do for your children is love your mate. And the greatest single thing you can do is lead your child to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. A pastor, Mike Whitson, was a chaplain for the police department. The police called and asked him to go to a family in the community that had had a tragedy. And that's what chaplains sometimes do, and that's what he did. The 20-year-old son of the couple had been killed in an automobile accident. Mike said he felt the weight of this instantly. He prayed before he got to the house. He went in the house with an officer, and they notified the husband and wife that their son was dead. In that process, the officer asked, "Would you like to see him?" His body is being held at the ER. The mother, who was frantic and understandably inconsolable, said, "I can't look at him that way." The father said, "I have to see him." So Mike went with the dad to the ER. He ushered him in the hospital, ushered him in the ER, ushered him to the room where his son's body was. He said when he got to the door, the father took a gasp, seeing the body of his son, ran up to his son, threw himself across his son, weeping and crying. And he was shouting, "Come back. Come back. I am so sorry. I never told you that I love you." And he said over and over again, "Come back." Later, Mike escorted the gentleman home. And as he got to the door, the mother then came out, grabbed his shoulders, and said, "Preacher, pray for my son. Pray him out of hell. I know he needed Jesus, but I never took him. I never took him to church. I never read him the Bible. I didn't even take him to Bible school, and there's just a church right down the street. Pray him out of hell." Mike said when he left the home, he broke down in tears, prayed for the family. Listen, if you have children, you don't know how long you will have children. I will promise you this, they will grow up far before you could imagine. And there will be a point very quickly that you're out of influence. And so it is very, very important that you take the time you have and influence their lives for Jesus. Take the time you have and give them a home that they can look to and they can be proud of. You know what teenagers say would be the most important thing in their lives? They say a good home. Give them a good home. Give them a good home that points them to Jesus. Now, if you look around this room, you'll see families, and we have families. We have families that are in church and where the whole family's in church. We have families where the whole family knows Jesus. We need to multiply that number. We don't have perfect families. We have families that have a risen Savior who can resource us for His glory. And we need to surrender to His will so that our homes, Our homes are a witness. And we live in the home like we would live in church, like we would live at work, like we would live at school, all for Jesus. He's given you the resources. You just need to reach out and accept them. Maybe you just need to come to the altar today and you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior. Listen, you can't have him in the home if you don't have him in your heart. You need to invite Jesus to come into your heart. Maybe today you've gotten away from the Lord and you need to recommit yourself to the Lord and you just want to come to the altar and pray, and that's okay. Maybe you're concerned for others in your household. Maybe you don't have a lot of influence, but you know your household needs Jesus. Come and pray. God has a resource that Jesus went to the cross to make available to you and me. But we have to accept it. Accept Jesus today. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask that you would move within our hearts. Help us to make decisions that we need to make. Father, perhaps some in this room have never met Jesus as their Savior, and now more than anything, they need Jesus. And Father, maybe there's individuals that know that their home is not right, and yet they know that Jesus needs to be the one elevated in the house, and they need to elevate Jesus in their own lives. Father, young or old, Father, let this be a time of putting Jesus in control. And Father, as you are in control of our hearts and lives, guide us to be a blessing to our home. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come as we sing?